Welcome to the Walking Through Time podcasts. There are plenty more to make your visit to New Norfolk more enjoyable.
Well, St Matthew's Church, as I said, started out as a schoolroom and a little church. And so since then, it's not well built. It's not. It's only a rubble brick and rendered. It's not made of stone as people might imagine it is, and it has taken a lot of maintenance over the years. It's had a chancel built, it's had transepts built, it's had the roof altered a couple of times, it's had a bell tower that fell down, and its history is of constant enlargement and maintenance. But it's in excellent order. People in New Norfolk really appreciate the church, and it would have in it some of the most beautiful windows that you will ever see. I call them happy windows because they're just so beautiful. There's none of this. Some of the windows in old places are very dark and grim, and the ones in St Matthew's are all happy. The first ones were made in Germany and bought out, and the one from the Scharlen family is what they call cast glass, and a stained glass window person that visited New Norfolk a couple of years ago told me that she had only found four examples of these stained glass windows. This was the only one in Tasmania in St Matthew's, and she'd found four, I think, in New South Wales. So, and that's a special type of way of making stained glass. But the windows have been put in since 1895, the first one was put in, and the last one was put in 2004. And I think most of the windows are now allocated to the stained glass. And they tell the story of the pioneers of the district. That was how I got interested in doing the history of the church, because when I'm sitting in the church and I look at the windows and see cowbins and files and rainbirds and that, and I thought, I know all these people, and when my generation's gone, the next generation isn't going to have a clue who these people were or are. Or so I've set about to sort of try and trace the history of pioneers of St Matthew's and the people that are in the windows and things like that. But it's just been constantly changed and altered since the day it was finished and built. The school didn't last long. They built another. Actually, the school went over to the. They built a rectory, I think, in 1827 over on it was on the edge of the Royal Derwent Oval that's now there, and that was the glebe for the church. And when they built the rectory, they had a King's Grammar School there, and the rector was the headmaster. So, and the close was built in 1866 as a Sunday school. Yes, but the bell tower was built by Molesworth Jeffries, and it had a peal of bells from Port Arthur, but they were anything but melodious. They were rather terrible, so I believe. But the tower wasn't strong enough for the bells, and the thing crumbled down and was taken away, and the bells were distributed around the little outlying churches. But in recent years, Port Arthur have reclaimed them. So they've all gone back to Port Arthur.
We have a congregation of approximately 30, you know, give or take, here each week. Obviously, the congregation's getting a little bit older, and so it's just a little bit harder to maintain all those things because we've got to really work a little bit harder as a group to do things. The outside of the building is obviously ready to be redone again now, but it has been. We've tried to maintain the lot by painting and rendering over the years, and the last time that it was rendered, it's about in 1975 or something like that. And the hall has been redone. We've done the chapel just recently here as well. We've had new seats done, covered and varnished. So we've tried to maintain it and just keep it going as best we can. Shoebridge family donated quite a bit to the church. The top window is a memory of Nancy Hope Shoebridge, as is the bottom window. And Nancy was their little girl that died on the way here to Tasmania from England. And she, so her photo is actually in the window itself with the crib. I think the thing is that people find that religion is old hat, and there's a lot of believers, but they're not going to come to church because they just find that it's not appealing to them, I guess, anymore. So the people that come, our fellowship is older. The Sunday school, I can remember I was the superintendent over there. We had 70 kids in the 70s and 80s. And now, you know, we're battling with about 10 at the most. So the families have changed. Sports on Sundays as well. You know, there's so much happening. So it's very different. It's extremely different to what it was. And remember that church once had a focus. There were Sunday school picnics and there were church dinners and all sorts of things happening. And as Dorothy mentioned to you before, there's people's Sundays were taken up with church and fellowship, and that doesn't seem to happen anymore. Well, we have an enabler who's an ordained priest who supervises us virtually and advises us, and he's answerable to the bishop. And he comes to have meetings with us once a week. We have a rotation where we preach. Some of us have different talents in different things. For instance, Anne looks after the youth, which we haven't got very much of at present, and Sunday school and baptisms. I tend to do the funerals. Somebody else does administration, and somebody else goes and visits at Corrambine, the nursing home. So we've all got different talents which we use, and which is really good compared to the times when the one minister had so much to do, and if he didn't have a talent to go and visit sick people, we still had to do it. You know, now we can rotate this around and find who has got the talent. And because it's enabler-supported ministry, it's enabler-supported ministry for the whole parish. And so we find that a lot of the other people here go and do home visits and things like that. So we work more as a team, I guess, than what used to happen. No, there's not a lot of parishes in Tasmania that are doing it. And it works in some parishes and it hasn't worked so well in others. So up St Helens, they're doing it. Down Signet, they're doing it. Hamilton Parish, they're doing it. Here, and there's some on the northwest coast as well. So, but you always have to have someone that's ordained, a local ordained priest or two, because you have to have the sacraments for the people. So that's important as well.
The Walking Through Time project has been made possible through the assistance of the Australian Government's Your Community Heritage Program and funding from the Derwent Valley Council. We would like to thank the many members of the public who have given freely of their thoughts and memories to make this project a success.